massive preaching material. So with this being said, as I was thinking about Wednesday night, basically you got a group of senior adults on Wednesday night for the most part. Kids are scattered out throughout the building doing a variety of different things. So I still find myself being challenged to try to share something relevant, to share something new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So anything I say tonight, chances are you've already heard it. Chances is you've heard it preached, and you might even heard it preached here recently. But as I was studying, preparing, I thought to myself, you know what, we're entering into the season of Thanksgiving. Season of Thanksgiving. So you've got a couple of Wednesday nights that we're going to be before Thanksgiving. Now I have to let you know, to be honest with you, next Wednesday night, Brother West is preaching. I've got two things to do that day. One is I got to go by and see my dad. Number two is it's your fault that I'm not going to be here, because y'all gave Sherry and I a trip to the Biltmore house. So I've got to leave and go to the Biltmore house. Thank y'all very much. So we're gonna leave Wednesday, and then we'll be there for Thursday, and I can go by and see my dad while I'm up there. It's easier to do it that way. But I tell you, it's in good hands with Brother West. I don't have to worry when I'm gone about that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 92. Now that I'm done with all my calming down and settling down for a minute. Y'all have known me long enough. If I have to just sort of chill for a minute when I get up here and I have to relax, I have to get in the groove a little bit. It's very hard to preach when you're nervous and upset and your brain's running 100 miles an hour in another direction. I have to give myself a minute sometimes to get myself tuned in. This psalm that I'm going to read to you is not a strange psalm to you. Most of you have read this psalm over and over. I want to read it, Psalm 92 and 1. I want to talk to you tonight on, should we praise the Lord? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. In other words, he says, you show forth your loving kindness every morning, and your faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to praise the Lord. The psalmist again, he says here again that upon the instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. In other words, he's simply saying, just look around you. Look at everything that God has done. Look at what God is doing. Look at the handiwork of God. And he says, there's a reason to praise the Lord. He says, O Lord, in verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. He magnifies God, he glorifies God in the upper part of this. And then verse number 6, the brutish man, the wicked man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. How many of you knew unicorn? The word unicorn was in the King James Version of the Bible. That is understood to be the rhinoceros, not a half horse with a little horn that stuck out in fairyland. That's understood to be the rhinoceros. And shall be anointed with fresh oil. I love that verse of scripture. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that riseth up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, but he shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in an old age, and shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I love you tonight, God, and I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are gathered together in your name for this short period of time tonight to lift up your name and to glorify your name. And Father, we come this evening to lift up your name, to glorify the name of Jesus, who is worthy of all praise. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. And Lord Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy tonight to be glorified and to be magnified. And Father, I thank you, God, that we have this moment in time as a refresher to remind ourselves of the goodness of our God. And Father, we glorify and magnify you. God, anoint us tonight with fresh oil. Anoint us, O God, with the oil of gladness tonight, Lord. Father, touch your people tonight, God, and let us, Lord Jesus, leave this place different than we came, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Verse 1, when they opened up these psalms, this was a psalm that was used on the Sabbath. There again, I don't know the rhythm to this psalm. I don't know the rhythm. But years ago, this psalm right here, I remember singing it in church. Anybody ever heard that psalm sung, Horace? Y'all learn it tonight? Y'all ready to learn this song? Have you ever heard it? All right, here we go. We're going to learn this song. Brother Harold's going to help me. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now give yourself a clap offering. Amen. You learned a new song tonight. I don't know if that's the way it was or not, but when I begin to think about this particular psalm, and should we praise the Lord? And again, when we think about praising God, all throughout the scripture, we're going to look at this between now and 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to look at this real quick. But we can see that all throughout the scripture, that we are admonished to praise the Lord. Now, again, you don't have to agree with me at all. But I have a tendency to believe that praise is something that we do out of obedience. Because the Bible says, again, I'm not going to go there and read all of it again, but if you go back into the book of Psalms, it's a psalm of praise, it's a song book of praise. All the way throughout the book of the psalm, it teaches us to praise the Lord. Now, again, when you read Psalm 146 and 147 and 148, 149 and 150, it goes and it talks about praising the Lord. And then he ends over in 150 and he talks about the psaltery and the harp, the cymbals. And then he concludes at the latter part of that and it says, so let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. But yet in the church of God, we talk about praising the Lord. I remember a day in the church when we did praise the Lord, But yet there's a part of me today that I feel, there again, you may not agree with me, that I feel that too often we only praise the Lord when we're in a good mood. Or the person next to you took a bath before they come to church. Come on, somebody. You can laugh and lighten up a little bit tonight. Or I feel like that we base our praise solely on our emotion. Your emotions will lie to you. Your emotion will tell you that God don't love you. Your emotion will tell you that your world is never going to get any better than it is right now. And if we truly believe that God is who we say God is, and that Jesus is really who we say Jesus is, my friends, we ought to always be praising God. A church service ought to be a way that we come together into a corporate setting, and we come together for the very purpose and the very reason to praise and magnify the Lord. But yet sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, you have to be very encouraged to praise the Lord. Well, if I was preaching the way I really would like to preach this, the way I really feel like I need to preach this, every now and then we have to be pumped and we have to be primed and we have to be just exactly the mood, the atmosphere, everything in the congregation has to feel just exactly right before we will ever give God a hallelujah or a praise the Lord. You know I'm telling the truth. So tonight I want to try my best to walk through some things on why we should praise the Lord. Amen? And I hope by the time that we leave here this evening that we're praising God and magnifying Him and glorifying His name, not because of what He's doing for us. Well, I'll praise Him, preacher, when God does something for me. He let you wake up this morning. Amen. The Bible said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, that the name of the Lord is to be praised. I believe if there's anything that we, the church, needs to learn to do again, that is to glorify and magnify God. If God has done anything for anybody, it ought to be the easiest thing on earth for you and I to do. But oftentimes we make it very complicated because we feel like it has to be done this way or that way or somebody else's way or your neighbor's way or that way. No, my friend, praise is something that comes out from the inside of you. And if you look at this word praise, and there's a lot of different words in the Hebrew, carrying it over into the Greek, there's a lot of different words that means different things about praise. If you look all of this up, but praise in Hebrew is Judah. Judah, one of the tribes, was named Praise. It was Judah that carried the songs in front of the children of Israel when they went into battle. Your song is your Judah. Your song is your praise this evening. Your song is the anthem that comes out of the inside of you as you and I face the very enemy of our soul. And I know that there are those that are meek and those that are mild and those that are quiet and those that's never lifted their voice to do anything. But there's one thing that we all can do together, and that is to praise and to magnify the Lord. Come and magnify the Lord with me. Everybody should praise God. Why should everybody praise God? Well, first of all, when we think about praise, several things comes to my mind. First of all, we see that praise, watch this, is very important. Praise is an expression of value. Do you value Jesus? Is Jesus just another household name to you? Or is there something very precious about the name of Jesus when you hear the name of Jesus? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Redeemer. He's my rock. He's my shield. He's my compass. Amen. He's my guide. And I could go on and on and on. The bread, the door, the truth, the way, the life. On and on and on we could go. Jesus is everything to the church. He's everything to us. Praise should never be complicated. Did you hear that? Praise should never be complicated. Somebody says, well, you got to raise your hands to praise. No, the Bible says raise your hands. It also says clap your hands. But you cannot put praise into a particular signature and say that it has to be done any one particular way, because praise comes out of your heart. Praise comes out of your innermost being, where that Bible says that there's a well of living water springing up to eternal life. That praise comes out of your mouth. So let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So praise is something that the preacher really technically cannot teach you. I can probably encourage you in. But yet, if you don't value Jesus on the inside of your being, if you don't value Him on the inside of who you are, you're not going to praise Him. But if you think about what He's done for me, when I think about what the Lord has done, that He saved us, that He lifted us up out of the miry clay, out of that horrible pit, my friend, we ought to all be praising God. It's easy to grumble. It's easy to complain. It's easy to nitpick. It's easy to find things you don't like, things you prefer to be different. But one thing we ought to be able to come to terms on and to come together on is that Jesus is valuable to us. That Jesus, the next thing it talks about in our commentary, is actually a Vine's Concordance, if you've got one. I know Janice got one. I've seen it at her house. If you look this up in the Vine's Concordance, it lists praise, and then it talks about value. You will praise what you put value on. And then it talks about worth. Worth. That Jesus is worthy. I'll get into that in the latter part of the service. And he says worth, and it talks about virtue. Man, we see in the scripture of how the Bible associates praise with the angels. Angels praise God. Angels magnify God. Angels glorify God. The first message in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 were sung. At Jesus' birth, the angels were singing. And this is what the Bible was saying there in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And it says this in the Word, and suddenly there was with a great multitude of the heavenly host praising God. We need to join in the angels. Join in with the angels. The whole multitude at Jesus' birth, the heavens filled up with angels and angelic beings, if you will. I don't know what they were singing. They might have been singing the doxology. They might have been singing the hallelujah chorus. And I'll get into that after a while sometime. But they might have been singing a hallelujah or a glory to God. Whatever they were singing, angels were singing. Jesus reminds us, if we fail to praise Him, and Jesus said, if these hold their peace, what's the Bible say? That even the rocks themselves is going to cry out. I preached one time a message on, don't let the rocks take your place. I had a big old white rock, and I brought it, and I put that rock on the pulpit. I said, that rock's not going to take my place. Amen. There's a big old white rock. Mama might remember it. She's probably listening. I don't know where it's at now. I carried it to my house. It's a great old big white coarse rock. My daddy carried that rock out of the woods and carried it home one day, and I kept it for years and years and years. When I moved down here, moved to Monroe, I don't know where the rock is. It might still be at my house up there or my sister's house up there. But I remember my dad carrying that rock home, and he liked that rock. And I took that rock and I put it on the pulpit, and I said, I'm not going to let no rock take my place. How many of us are allowing things to take our praise or to steal our praise? And I know people are sick, and I know people are shut in, and I know people don't feel good, and I know it gets dark early, and I know you got to get up early, and I know all those things. But yet, my friend, in all the obstacles of life, you and I, as God's people that place value on Jesus and place worth on Him, we see here in this verse, next verse 14, and it says in the Word, and it says here, "And glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And that message has not change tonight. So the angels praise God. When you look in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is in 13, verse number 15. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 15, we see this in the Word. And it says, "By Him, therefore," by who? Jesus. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Who can open the seal of the book? Is He worthy? And the Bible says here, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God." When I was studying this and I was writing all this stuff out and I was processing it in my own mind, I began to think about how that this right here, it says, "To Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." I thought about Jesus on the cross. Jesus sacrificed His life on the cross. He laid down His life. He reminded us that no man takes His life. He said, "I lay down my life. I am the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for my friends." He laid His life down. It should always be easy for you and for me, who are Bible-believing people, to lift up our voice, put a song up on our lips, and give God a praise when we're going through the storm, when we're going through the valley. Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through." And it's hard to praise God when you're going through the valley. But I like Peg. I'm not going to kick my shoe off. Peg sings the song that He's the God of the mountain, just like He's the God of the valley. He's the God of the valley. And I'm going to do it. There goes the shoe. Just like He's the God of the mountain. Amen. And we've got to work on that. We've got to process that. We've got to understand that. He says He's the Lord and He never changes. So again, when He says, "By Him, but by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." When I think about what He's done for me, Brenda, when I think about what He's done for me, there should be an easy praise that comes off of my lips. The devil's always going to show you circumstances. The devil's always going to show you situations. The devil, Brother Hunt's always going to say, "Well, this is bad in your life right now, and it's going to get your attention off of this." But God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. And if God did it for you then, God will do it for you now. I believe the more we praise Him, I believe that it breaks the chains of bondage. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Have you got any biblical evidence for that? Well, sure I do. Sure I do. And at midnight, they sang praises unto God. And God sent a great earthquake. And Paul and Silas was in there. And the earth, that's the first jailhouse rock right there. And the jailhouse began to rock and it began to sway. And the doors was opened. And they just kept on praising God and magnifying God. They might have been singing, "Brenda, look what the Lord has done." I don't know, but they might have been singing that He is the way maker. I don't know what they were singing. But my friend, all the bands was loosed. Paul and Silas went out of there skipping and worshiping God in the Holy Ghost. And the jailer seen them and all the people seen them. And then again, I believe there was another chorus. Dixie, that they sang one more time. "Look what the Lord has done." If God did it then, God will do it now. If God's brought you a miracle in the past, hey, God will do it again. I don't know about you, but I feel that in my spirit that God will do it again. Hallelujah. Somebody says, "There you go hollering again," and it don't take all that. Well, you come and do it. It takes a little of that to get that out of my system every now and then. I don't have to holler, but boy, I tell you what, it sure does feel good. He is who He says He is. So if God is who He says He is, and if God's did it before, why should we praise God? Because we know that God is no respect for persons. And Brother Harold, if God did it one time, He'll do it again. This man right here, I'm not going to get into his testimony, but He's had a few accidents in his life. Times that they give up on you, didn't they, Harold? They've been times they said, he ain't going to make it. Look at him. He's right there. Brother Steve, he's right there. Brother Kip Box, our state overseer, I listened to his testimony this morning. God can still do it. The thing about it is, we are so behind. We are so behind in our praise. We are so behind in what we need to be doing to glorify God. It's more than spiritual jumping jacks. Stand up and clap your hands. Raise your hands. Stand up if you think you're able to stand up. I know, I don't mean that in an ugly way, and I don't mean it in a bad way. But my friend, sometimes we just need to say, you know what, I'm going to press through because Jesus pressed through for me. Father, if this cup won't pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Sometimes we got to press our way in. Sometimes when you need a miracle, it's going to be on the lips of praise that you get your breakthrough. God is worthy. Hebrews again, he says again that by him is therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, letting everything that hath breath praise his name. Why should we praise God? When we think about it, angels praised God. When we think about it, God brought miracles when people praised God. There was a sacrifice, a sacrificial offering. He says, let us praise God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. You don't have to be loud like me. I'm loud. I know that. I don't really make an apology for that, but it's just the way I am. But we can glorify God with our lips. In other words, when you think about praise, praise is an octave. When David played upon the lyre, a lyre, I think it's called, it's a 10-stringed instrument. I thought lyre, when I looked that up today, I thought just like a L-A-I-R, L-I-A-R rather, lyre. I never was good at spelling. But I thought lyre, I don't sound, but that's what it's called. It's like a 10-stringed instrument. I even watched a guy play one of them things today, and it was really pretty. I couldn't do it. It's like a little bitty harp, 10 strings. They played it, and some of you know how to play one. I don't know how to play one, but it was pretty. He said, just as much as there was a 10-stringed instrument, he said, let our lips sing praises unto God. Let me move on quickly through this. Again, when we think about this word in Hebrews 2 and 12, just going back a few pages or a few chapters, if you will, what does it mean there in Hebrews 2 and verse number 12? It means there, when you look at this, it says, saying, I will declare thy name unto the brethren. Watch this. In the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Why should I praise God in the church? There it is. We need to sing praises unto God. When you look at this word praise here, it talks about that musical instrument. It talks about like Judy does. Judy, I don't know how many strings is on this 6-string right here, but it talks about to twitch and to twang. That's what that means, to make music, to twitch and to twang. Did you know you was making music twitch and twang? That's what it means there, and it talks about the praise. And you can find that throughout the Scripture in Hebrews chapter 2 and 12. Again, when you look at it, he says, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto God. Somebody said, well, I've just been waiting on permission to do so. Whose permission have you needed? Somebody said, well, everything's got to be done decently in order. Well, if you're praising God, I believe that's in order. And if it's out of order, you'll soon know it, because everybody will get quiet and they'll start staring at you. Things like that take care of themselves. I don't have to never worry about that. What happened in the New Testament church? Chapter 2 of Acts tells us about that early church. That the early church, why should we praise God? Why should we praise the Lord? Because the early church was, they praised the Lord. It was an outward expression, outward. Acts 2, when you look at that in verses 46 through 47, just a couple of verses really, really quick. And it says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart? Look in 47, this is what he said, praising God. There was something about that early church that they valued God. Now don't get mad at the preacher. It's too late in the service and I'm tired and I'm going to bed after a while. Friend, let me tell you something about the Church of God. Brother Hunt will tell you he's been in it longer than me, probably twice over. I don't know, because he's a little bit older than me. Brother West, some of you others that's been in Pentecost for a long time, let me tell you something real fast. Brother Bob, Brother Russell, y'all ready for this? We've lost it. I'm not talking about being just emotional, and I'm not talking about just anything being out of order. But when I came up in the Church of God about 30 years ago, when I first got in this thing, you didn't have to tell nobody to praise the Lord. Man, there was so much excitement. There was so much, let me use the word exuberance, in people's lips and their mouth and their motion. They were just thankful to be in God's house. They were thankful just to be in God's presence. And folks, don't ever lose that here at Thomasville. You think, well, I don't want to embarrass the preacher. I've probably embarrassed you more than you'll ever embarrass me. Me up here hollering and screaming and carrying on the way I do. One day I took a running spell. I went around through here running. That's several years ago. Now I do it hobbling. When you get a little older, hurt your knee every now and then. But don't ever worry about that. And you say, well, I don't want to disturb the person next to me. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe if it's on you, maybe if you'll praise God enough, maybe it'll jump off of you and get on them. Amen. I said, well, it used to work. Right. You'd get somebody, I'm not pointing you guys out, you're just close to me tonight, but you'd get somebody here praising God, they'd really get real good in the Holy Ghost, and that thing get real good and hot. Brother West, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody get to magnifying God and glorifying God. Somebody over there get to staring and looking at them and saying, you know, that's pretty good. I'd like to get some of that myself. They get to magnify. I'm telling you the truth. They'd get to magnifying God, glorifying God. Somebody back over there and say, wow, that's what I need tonight. I need to get some of that glory. I need to get that little bit of that on me. Am I telling the truth, Brother Harold? And before long, I'm telling you what, the whole church would go up not in smoke, but the whole church would go up in glory. People would magnify God. Now again, I'm meddling a little bit tonight. People say, well, the preacher didn't even get to preach today. It ain't that the preacher didn't have something to say, or if the preacher didn't study. I'm not going to work it up just to get out of preaching. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't flow like that. But friend, there have been authentic, genuine times in this church, in this building, in times that all of us know, when the glory of God has showed up and all we could do was worship Him and praise Him and magnify His name. Oh, how I miss those moments in God's house. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know it's 5 minutes to eight. I know I've not even got point one done. I realize that, but I promise I'll get done by 10 o'clock. I promise I will. I'm just picking on you. You can smile. It don't hurt. Come on. Is this okay tonight? Woo! I like verse number one. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the results of that was that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. People say, well, I'm afraid if I get to glorifying God and magnifying God, you're going to run people away from the church. If you're truly glorifying God and magnifying God, it ain't going to run nobody away from the church. Matter of fact, it'll draw people to the church. And if they don't want Pentecost, well, bless their hearts, because I'm not going to quit. Because I still believe the power of God, and I still believe that God needs to be praised and magnified. Number two, really, really fast. The next thing in our text, he says here, and he says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto Him. Verse 2 says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And then we see here again where it adds a contribution to worship. Worship, again, when you think about worship, and I got to hurry through this. Worship, if we think about praise is an outward experience that comes through an inward faith. In other words, true worship starts on the inside of you. Worship all throughout the scripture is worth-ship. It's an old Anglo-Saxon word that means worth-ship. It's that I declare worthy, that I put worth upon. It's that I do reverence to. The battle of the ages has always been one of worship. Again, when you read the Word of God in Matthew 4:10, it was when Jesus was confronted by Satan, and Satan himself said, fall down and worship. And then Jesus said again, he says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil don't want you to worship God. No. Worship again, this is the battle of the ages. It is an inward thing. It starts in the heart and it works its way to the outside. When you look into the idea of worship again throughout the scripture, it is one where the Bible talks about this in the book of Exodus chapter 20. In the Ten Commandments in verse number 2, he starts this off in verse 2 of Exodus 20. And the whole issue was, before you could ever have a relationship with man, you've got to have a relationship with God. The commandments. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Look at 3 and roll forward. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Little g, little g. And then he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or likenesses of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5. Again, look at this. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them, thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. You wouldn't think that God would say he was jealous, but it's plain and simple. God says he wants your worship. He wants your reverence. He wants that is on the inside of you. Again, when you think about this, when we think about even our worship today, he was a reminder even then, if you look at this, God says that I am a jealous God, visit the iniquity of the fathers upon children unto the third, fourth generation. Why? And them that hate me. Why? Because this is what they done. They led that generation away into worshiping Moloch and those that was during that time in the Old Testament. And God said, hey, I am not going to tolerate you worshiping another God. And I am the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. I begin to think about that. I know we don't have here in Thomasville that I know of, but I don't know that we have shrines here in Thomasville. I don't know that we've got statues everywhere. I don't know of any of those around, but other cities around, no doubt in my mind, that they probably do have shrines and have other articles of worship that they do, things like that. But God said that he's a jealous God, and he wants the church, you and I, to worship him and him alone. He told Israel. What did Israel do? In Israel, when we look in Israel in Exodus chapter 32, Moses had been on the mountain, Aaron was there, and the children of Israel started saying to Aaron, we want to worship. I remember Doug Small or a man that's already passed away, David Bishop from Tennessee, that done a manual that I taught out of years ago. One of the things that was said is, it's not a matter of whether you will worship, it's a matter of what will you worship. And all of us, we value things, we put trust in things, we reverence things. So this evening is a reminder not to be like Israel, because Israel in Genesis 32, and we look at that in verse number 1, and again, I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of that, but I am going to read part of it, because again, when you see this, he told them in the scripture that they were to worship God. Well, what did they do? They turned right around. They were all there. I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis of this. In a paraphrase, they were saying, we got to worship. Moses is dead. We got to worship. We got to worship. Aaron said, well, give me your earrings, your nose rings, your belly button rings, and toe rings. And he didn't say that, but all those rings that you got. And we're gonna do something about this issue. So they made a golden calf. The calf represented the gods of the Egyptians. They went right back where God brought them out of, went right back and started worshiping the golden calf. You know that. They were dancing around that thing, jumping up and down, worshiping the golden calf. God told Moses to get up. They've already corrupted themselves. Get back down there. See what they're doing. Moses jumped on his camel, whatever he was riding, got back down from the top of the mountain, went back down there and seen one of the most ridiculous things things he'd ever seen in his life. Here that golden calf was, and all the people were dancing and worshiping and praising this false god. I wonder what's going on in America right now. I wonder what we're doing in America right now. When God has blessed this country and God has helped us so much, but it seems like our world has gone mad, and it seems like we don't reverence God no more. It seems like that Jesus is no more than he used to be or has been or a byword. But I tell you what, my friend, the true church, the true church, the church that loves him. He told Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to kill every one of them. I'm going to slay them. They've corrupted themselves. He said, I'm going to raise up another generation that'll worship me. And I thought what Moses said, God, don't do that. Then all the Egyptians is going to say that you were not able to deliver them. And God said, well, he repented to himself. The Bible said he changed his mind about what he would do. But yet, my friend, judgment still came on the children of Israel. You can read it right there, Exodus 32. They'd done the very thing that God had told them not to do. So the last thing, I think I'm to that point. Oh, there's another scripture, but I'm not going to read that right now. I'll let you read it. Write it down. You can read it later. It's the doxology that I was talking about earlier that's in the book of Revelation chapter 5. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I'll just tell you where it's at. It's verses 6 through 14. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Only the Lamb was worthy. Only the Lamb is worthy. Only the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Only the Lamb. So how does, the third thing, how does praise and worship come forth out of us and why we should do it? It's found in the season that we're in right now. It's found in the area of gratitude. It's found in the area of thanks. I remember I worked at Pepsi-Cola years ago. There was an article. I'm not going to call names. I don't want to get sued. But there was an article in the newspaper about that one of the owners of our local plant. And one of the things that the article said about this person that was on the front page of the newspaper, self-made millionaire. Well, what I knew that wasn't in that picture right there is that this person's two aunts were the stockholders and the owner of the company before him, and it was handed down to him. Didn't say that. It didn't say that part in there, but I knew that because I worked there. And I thought that to myself, that how sometimes people can be so ungrateful. They can not give God credit. They can't somehow or another, they find it hard to give God glory. They find it very hard to give the glory to God, the glory that is due his name. Of all things that needs to be done in the church today, that as many times as the Bible says that you and I are to be filled with gratitude. If we're filled with gratitude, we'll worship. Come on, somebody. If we're filled with gratitude, we're gonna praise his name. When I think of what he's done, when I think of all he's done for me, there's a youth camp song, and I can't think of all the words to it. But when I think of his blessings and when I think of all that he's done for me, I want to shout. And it says, I want to shout, 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 shout all night. And then he talks about, this is a youth camp song. When I think of all his blessings and all he's done for me, I want to spin. That's what the youth, the children, we get the children all cranked up. I want to spin. We'd spin, 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 spin all night long. I can't do that much or I'll have vertigo for a week. But we think about how that today, you and I, when we think about what God has done for us, I'm telling you, my friend, it ought not be a difficult thing to praise God nor to glorify his name. We ought to come into this room shouting, I wish we'd tried. We ought to just push our way through. We ought to think about everything that God has done for us. And my friend, when we leave, we ought to be glorifying his name because God has been so good to us. Three verses of scripture really, really fast. One is found in the book of psalm. We look at this in Psalm 95. You can find these all throughout the book of Psalm. I don't want to take the time to read all of them tonight, but Psalm 95 and 1, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Oh, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is great and a great King above all gods." When I think about the Lord and what the Lord has done for me, there ought to be a praise that flows off of my lips unto Him. There ought to be a worship of reverence that comes out of my heart for Him. And then we ought to know that He is worthy to be praised. When we look in Psalm 95, we look in Psalm 96. When you look in Psalm 96 and 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." And then Psalm 100 again. There's a lot of psalms about praise. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Somebody said, "Well, I can't carry a note in a tin bucket." That's your verse right there. "Oh, sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Come before His presence with complaining." No, that's not what it says, is it? He says it, "Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing." That's how you come into God's presence. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Verse 4, enter in. Somebody say, enter in. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Somebody take that verse home with you tonight. Psalm 104, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Go back to verse number 4. He says this, "Enter into His gates." When you come through His gates, we ought to come through praising Him. We ought to come through glorifying His name. I don't know about you, but maybe we ought to try that sometime. Amen. Just come glorifying God and magnifying and being thankful unto Him. When I think of the Lord and all that He's done for me, oh, my friend, we can praise Him. That's why we should praise the Lord, is because of all that God has done. And then He says we enter into His courts. Into His courts. I know there was an outer court, there was an inner court, and they were the holy of holies. But my friend, if you'll notice, they started on the outer court and come to the inner court, but it wasn't long till they got in behind the holy of holies. If you want to go into His presence, God says, try a little praise. Amen. Glorify my name. Lift up my name. And before long, you'll be right into His presence. I want you to stand with me tonight. Be thankful unto Him. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Lord, together. Lord, we bless Your name. Hallelujah to Your name in this room. Lord, we take this time and God, we put into practice the thing that we have learned tonight, is to glorify Your name. We magnify Your name. We lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And Jesus, we lift up Your praise. We magnify Your name, for Your name is a holy name. Your name is a mighty name. Your name is an everlasting name. Your name is an ever-changing name. And Father God, to name the name of Jesus is the name that will be glorified all throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Somebody says, what are you going to do in heaven? Somebody says, well, I'm going to go down, I'm going to get me some crickets, and I'm going to get my fishing pole, and I'm going to go sit by the river of life, and I'm going to fish all day. No, you're not. That's not even in the Bible. Somebody says, I want a cabin on the hillside. That's not even in the Bible. What are we going to do? Think about it. We're going to be glorifying God and praising God, magnifying Him forever. Forever. Somebody said, well, are you going to feel bad in heaven? I don't know. Because there's trees of life that are there that you've got to eat for your health. It's in the book. So I don't know why it's there necessarily. I'll let Brother West or somebody talk about that later. But it's for the healing of the nations. I think what we're going to do in heaven is a far cry from what we even can imagine. Because the Bible says, for I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We're going to be there in his presence. There's a young man at the senior adult event. He just turned 50, I think. He sung for the first time. His name is Johnny Cox. And he sang a song that I tried to sing one time. Some of you may know it. And the name of it is We Shall See Jesus. He talks about Mark, Timothy, Luke, and John. And then he said, but I want to see Jesus. Because he's the one. He's the one that died for me. So anytime you feel like you can't praise him, just go back and look at the cross. And you'll, before long, understand that he's worthy to be praised. So, Father, we thank you, God, tonight. Holy Ghost, we thank you, God, tonight for thy word is truth. And, God, I thank you for your word that touched us tonight, that even encouraged me, Lord. And, God, let us as a church, let us as a people, Lord, not count our difficulties. Let us not count our problems and how many things went wrong this week. But God, let us count what's went right. And God, let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us keep our eyes fixed on him, that we might please you in our praise and in our adoration and in our worship. And God, as we enter into this season of gratitude, truly, God, you have fed us and clothed us, and God, you've taken care of us. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Just know this one thing. I love you. I care about you. And let's have a good week. And pray for those that are sick.